excited to be back. It's been 4 weeks since I've been here. And I loved getting to sit and hear teaching just like you guys got to. And I loved all the messages. Each speaker, man, conviction and challenge and encouragement. I loved it all. But I got to tell you, I was about week four, man, I was ready to go because one of the great advantages to stepping back and not teaching for those 4 weeks is God just begins to speak and I get to listen a lot better. And I got six new message series that came out of July that I'm just excited to begin to unpack and unfold. And so we're beginning a brand new message series today called Not My Problem. Amen. Sounds good, huh? So did you know that in a recent poll, only 14% of Americans think that the economy is our biggest problem right now? But that's compared to 2009, 10 years ago, when almost 90% of Americans thought that the economy, remember we were sort of in this little thing called a recession back then. Today, though, immigration and government leadership are the two biggest problems according to a random Gallup poll. Immigration and government leadership. But when polling millennials specifically, they believed that there were several other things that were the biggest problems that we were facing: religious conflicts, poverty, racial and financial inequality, large-scale conflicts and wars. But the number one thing that millennials believe is the trouble with our country right now is climate change and the destruction of nature. So we could spend all day arguing about who's right about which is the biggest problem. Your perspective might say, well, I actually believe this is the bigger problem, or this is the more urgent problem, or this is the bigger problem. What we can agree on is that our world, we are not facing a shortage of problems across the globe, across our country, in our own state, in our city, whichever city you live in our homes, in our marriages, in our parenting, or in our personal lives. Sit down this afternoon, if you can handle the absolute depression and disparity that comes from this, and begin to write down every problem that is in your life or surrounding your life. It becomes so overwhelming that it sort of makes us want to get on a plane, fly to a remote private island and just hide from it all. Just go, I don't have to work, and when I'm hungry, I'll crack open a coconut, drink that coconut water out of there, scrape a little coconut shavings, I'll put it on a, I'll catch some fish. I'll do the whole castaway thing, you know, I'll grow the long beard, and that's just the women, right? And then, ladies, you don't have to shave your legs ever again. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Or spend a lot of dollars on makeup. You just get to go hide away. If you've seen, how many of you guys have seen The New Lion King? Oh, not many. Okay, well, some of you guys. How many have all seen the animated Lion King? Well, there you go. Okay, so I want to show you something because there's a whole theme throughout that movie with some really fun to watch characters, and there's a whole little catchy song that sort of describes that want to get away from it all mentality. Here, watch this real quick.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase.
Hakuna Matata. Ain't no peasant craze.
It means no worries for the rest of your days.
It's our problem-free philosophy.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata?
Yeah, it's our motto.
What's the motto?
Nothing. What's the motto with you?
You know what? These two words will solve all your problems.
That's right.
All right. These two, it's a fun song, right? I've been singing it because I looked up the clip, and I think there's a scientist say that if you don't hear a song from beginning to end, your mind keeps doing it until it can resolve the song. And so I didn't listen to the whole song. I only listened to that portion, so I can't get it out of my head, right? So I'm singing Hakuna Matata all the time. Now, he says something right there. He says, these two words will solve all your problems. Ah, Wouldn't it be great if there were two words that solved all of our problems? If you could make your leaving Hakuna Matata, or singing, or thinking, or believing Hakuna Matata. But the reality is, and you and I know this, that we can't run from, hide from, or be intimidated by our fears. We can't do it because the longer we go ignoring or hiding or running from our problems, they don't go away. They just get bigger and stronger, right? So these problems that we know about in our lives, these problems that are surrounding us, these problems that are happening in the world, the state, the country, our marriages, we can't hide from them. Can't run from them, and we can't Hakuna Matata. So we're going to take the next several weeks, and we're going to unpack what it means to take on the problems that are really our problems and learn really to let go of the rest. So grab your notes if you don't already have them out. Open up your Summit Church app, and let's do this together. We're going to start with some basic truths today. I don't have to ignore, run from, or be afraid of my problems when I realize, number one, the struggle is real, right? So here's a truth. Fill in this. Nobody, including me, gets a Hakuna Matata problem-free life. It's not as if you get all the problems in the world. It's not as if you're the only ones with problems. Now, if we look on social media, if we look around us, it feels like we're the only ones living a real life. It looks like we're the only ones that have real problems in our life because we all want to portray a portion of our life that is problem-free, or at least it looks problem-free, but every single one of us has problems. Listen, we've had problems in the past. We got problems that we're facing right now, and we will continue to have problems for the rest of our days, right? We're going to keep have, thank you. I'm appearing in a new Disney Broadway show you can catch this Thursday. The reality is we all hope that we get to grow out of our problems. You go, boy, man, in my past did I have problems. And I got some problems now, and I'm looking forward to overcoming these problems. And I'm really hoping that 2020 is going to be problem-free. Well, I got to tell you, it ain't happening. Because there's no self-help book to read. There's no seminar that you get to attend. There's no sermon that I'm ever going to preach. There's no catchy song that you're ever going to get to sing that's going to make those problems go away. Here's why. We live in a broken world full of broken people. This room is full of broken people. You're married to a broken person. Don't say amen. They may not know it yet. They may not be aware that they're broken. And that brokenness comes from way back in the day when Adam first broke the law, the one law God gave to humanity. He said, don't ever know what evil looks like. You're going to hate it. And man said, I have a right to know. And so Adam disobeyed, and so did Eve. And when Adam sinned, Romans 5:12 says, the entire world was affected. I almost want to put the word infected right there. When Adam sinned, the entire world was affected. Sin entered the human experience, and death was the result. It meant that everything that had life began dying. Relationship, parenting, experience and relationship with God, friendships, trust, honor, integrity, truth, everything that was good that God created began to die, began to take on a completely different shape than it was created to have. And so death followed sin, this sin, casting its shadow over all humanity because all have sinned. If you want to know why the world's broken, the answer is sin. Sin has affected and infected everyone and everything. All you have to do is watch the news. The Garlic Festival, New Mexico, Ohio, there are evil people and evil things that happen in our broken world. We have 6 billion Adams and Eves running around, breaking things and causing problems. So when Jesus says in John 16:33, for in this unbelieving, for in this world that's disconnected from God, you will experience trouble and sorrows. Listen, brother, you can believe that. Jesus says, make no mistake, you live in a very broken world with a bunch of broken people who are far from God. And because of that, there's going to be problems in this world. So yes, the struggle is real. You and I live in a broken, problem-filled world, and we can't Hakuna Matata ourselves out of it. It's a fun song to sing. I like it. Can't stop singing it. I'm going to have to listen this afternoon all the way through so my brain can resolve the end of that song. But even if I wanted to keep singing it over and over again, have you ever visited like Jamaica or the Bahamas and you get the tourist shirt? No problem, man. Right? You can't wave a wand and make all those problems go away. The struggle is real. That's the bad news. You ready for some good news? Here's some good news. I don't have to ignore, run away from, or be afraid of my problems when I realize, number two, not all problems are my problems. Here's the truth. Most problems in the world aren't my problems. Let me say that again. I listen to politicians, aren't my problems. So if I watch the news, I listen to politicians. If I go onto social media, if I talk to coworkers, neighbors, even maybe your spouse, it doesn't take too long to feel completely overwhelmed with all of the problems around us. Seriously, just watch the news for a couple minutes. They don't get advertising dollars for hopping on there and telling you good news. They tell you about all the problems, and nobody can really stir up anything if they talk about what's good, so they highlight all the problems, and people are emotionally affected and impacted by the problems. And every one of those problems, depending on who's talking and when you're listening, they all feel so urgent. They all feel equally important, or they all feel super big, and they all feel incredibly difficult to solve, and that feels like we're drowning in our problems. But I want you to stop for just a second and think about all the problems you worry about, and then ask this simple question: how many of those problems are actually my problems to solve? Think about it. How many of the problems that you worry about, or that you think about, or that you talk about, or that you exert energy or conversation or thoughts about, are your problem to solve? Here's what I mean. Between working on climate change or working on your marriage, which one of those is your problem? Between fixing the student loan crisis in America or fixing your personal finances, which one of those is your problem? Between helping Republicans and Democrats improve their relationship with each other or working on the health of your relationship with Christ, which one of those is your problem? You're getting the point, right? I could keep doing those, and you'd understand that we focus so much of our energy and time, so much of our energy on things that are not really our problems to solve. 1 Thessalonians says this, and do everything you can to live a quiet life. Boy, that is definitely contrary to culture right now, because social media and all of that allows us to live loud lives. There are people who live stream their life. There's people who post every 15 minutes about their life. There's people that are Instagram, Snapchatting. And there's just this, you live loudly. Everyone gets to peek. We ran into some people. We were out with my brother and sister-in-law the other night. And we ran into some people who have a strong presence on social media. They also happen to be people we already know, but we haven't seen them for a long time. And so when they walked away, my sister-in-law goes, I mean, I just see them on social media all the time. Sometimes I forget they're real people. It's almost as if we enjoy turning ourselves into celebrities But the Bible says, and do everything you can to live a quiet life. You should mind your own business. How many times have you told your kids that? You know what? Mind your own business. When you're talking to your spouse and your kids go, what? What's going on? What are we doing? And you go, mind your own. I wasn't talking to you. At what age did we grow out of thinking that minding your own business was a good thing and work with your hands just as we told you to do, and then unbelievers will have respect for your everyday life and you won't have to depend on others? Here's what it says. God has given you a work to do. Mind your business. And if you can take care of your business, you're going to earn respect. You're going to get all that celebrity that we all sort of crave, that significance and that importance, that respect we all sort of crave. That comes from taking care of your business. Right? I'm not, and the Bible is not, advocating for a selfish, I only care about me attitude. What I am advocating for and what Scripture tells us to do is, in the ocean of thousands and thousands of problems that we swim in every day, really only a few of those have been mandated by God for you to take care of. We're managing fields we don't belong in, and God says there's some crops right in front of you that are getting neglected. There are some seeds that have been planted in your life that you're not watering and not taking care of. While you're urgently taking care of all those other things, there are things that are being neglected in your life. So I saw a Instagram post recently that I thought was a great philosophy to live by as far as distinguishing what's your problem and what needs to move on to someone else's problem. Take a look at this. I asked an EOD guy, that's explosive ordnance, somebody help me in the military, it's a Navy. Disposal, thank you. Explosive ordnance disposal guy wants about the stress of bomb defusing. He shrugged and said, it's not stressful. I'm either right or suddenly it's not my problem anymore. I love that. That's awesome. There are things that are your problems to deal with, and there are things that might blow up in your face, and you really need to focus on the things that are your problem. Third and finally is this. I don't have to ignore, run from, or be afraid of my problems when I realize, number three, my problem perspective is usually my biggest problem. My problem perspective is usually my biggest problem. So here's a truth I want you to write down, fill in the blank. Problems are like shadows. They appear bigger and darker than they really are. Our relationship as children with shadows is different than our relationship with adults, as adults with shadows. But I think what happened as children, we didn't know, and we have this twisted perspective. Adults, we don't know what our problems really are, and we have this twisted perspective. I ran across a video that helps perfectly illustrate sometimes why we're purposely afraid of the wrong thing. And take a look real quick. She's okay. It didn't get her. And here's the problem. You and I often perceive our problems like that little girl perceived her shadow. It's with us, seems to be chasing us, but man, it's dark, it's scary, it feels way bigger than it actually is. It's not that problems aren't real. Problems are real. We said that at the beginning. Jesus said we'll live in a world with problems. And it's not that those problems just go away on their own, because they don't go away on their own. It's just that we have a problemed perspective about our problems. We always see them in a much more distorted way. But God does something for us that's really, really good, and he does it all throughout the Word. He helps us compare and contrast our problems to his size. He uses really exaggerated contrast and comparisons. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 54:10. Even if the mountains heave up from their anchors and the hills quiver and shake, I will not desert you. You can rely on my enduring, my eternal, my forever love. My covenant of peace will stand forever, so says the eternal one whose love won't give up on you. Listen, God knows that the mountains aren't going to uproot from the ground. They're not going to disappear. They're not going to go away. The hills aren't going to shake. But that's the way we see our problems. We see these huge, monstrous things in our lives that are going to overwhelm us. And God goes, even if all of that actually happens, it won't happen, but even if it did happen, you need to trust me because I'm bigger than all that. Those things bow to me and worship me. I have your life in my hands. Do you think I'm going to let you be overwhelmed by all of these things that you're so afraid of? You see, there are problems in your life that are yours to deal with, but none of those problems are so big that you'll be overwhelmed by them. I'm going to leave you with this. Jesus said this in John 16:33, and I'm going to do a little contrasting and show you how we perceive things versus how Jesus actually said them. We can't help ourselves. We actually sometimes see things that are meant to be encouragements as things that actually discourage us. So 16:33 says, "And everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me." Now he goes on to say this, and I struck it out, but I'm going to show you why I did that. "For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows." Remember, I read that at the beginning all by itself. "But you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world." If Gavin could make his way up, that'd be great. So I want to show you something. Our perspective affects even the way we see those words, because if you've ever heard that passage talked about, just like I did at the beginning, we tend to isolate that one sentence right in the middle. We hear, "For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows." We were hoping to hear Jesus say, "Hey, good news, follow me, you won't have any trouble, any problems anymore." We go, "That's a God I want to follow." But then what Jesus actually says is, we hear, "And in this world you will have trouble." When in fact what Jesus wants us to do is hear this: "And everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. You must be courageous, for I have conquered the world." You see, that's really inspiring. That's really encouraging. That's uplifting. That makes us feel like conquerors. That makes us want to take on our trouble. But you see, our minds are so programmed negatively that we can't help but to focus on that one little sentence sandwiched between two declarations of God's promises around us. Jesus smartly puts it in there. He makes a nice sandwich. You see, in management, they tell you to do an encouragement sandwich. When you're helping somebody and you're coaching somebody and they've done something you need to correct, you start off with encouragement, then you bring sort of that tough truth to them, then you end with encouragement again. You can tell I'm not a good manager. I just go discouragement, discouragement, discouragement. Dave's laughing. That's not a good sign. See, Jesus does that great management tool. He says, "Hey, listen, I'm telling you this because I want you to have confidence and peace. I want you to be okay about everything." And then he changes gears and he goes, "Because listen, there's going to be trouble." But he stays there just for a second, and then he gets right back into, "But man, it's all, don't worry about any of it. I want you to walk in confidence. I have you." So we're going to take a few more weeks and we're going to unpack this a little bit more in helping you identify what are your problems and how to actually tackle your problems and which problems are God's and how to hand those off to him. And then a couple other things that are maybe difficult for us to do, but we're going to get through this together, and we're going to start learning that we do face aren't like that shadow world's problems, and that the problems that we do face aren't like that shadow that we have to be terrified of. We don't have to run or hide anymore. We don't have to kind of cover our ears, close our eyes, get on an imaginary plane and Hakuna Matata our way through our problems. Jesus says, yeah, you're going to have problems, but don't worry about that. You get to, listen, you get to rest in me. How many of us feel restful around our problems? Not me. I'm a type A personality. I used to, before things were open 24/7 and there was phone support at any hour, I'd get a bill on a Friday and I knew it was wrong. And I'd have to wait 2 full days before I could call on Monday. I'd be stressed all weekend long. I needed to set that straight. And I just, it was tumultuous, and I would just stress out over it. And that was a little thing, like an error on a bill. You and I get ourselves all wound up. And Jesus says, you can rest in me. We've got it. You can trust me. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I want to ask you this. How many of you right now, you feel overwhelmed a little bit? You've got a problem or problems in your life that you feel overwhelmed with. Would you just stick your hand up? Yeah. Wow. I'm sorry. I've been there. I might be there again. How many of you guys feel like there's some problems from your past that won't leave you alone? Yeah, lots of us. And how many of you guys feel like whatever problems you have faced, are facing, or will face, you feel like those problems tend to win out and that you're losing the battle against those problems and you need God's help to take on those problems? If you just say, yeah, I've been victim to my problems and I need God's help. I'm going to pray for every single one of us, especially all that raise their hands. God, you are the problem solver. Problems weren't part of your plan for us. So problems are the enemy of your goodness in our life. But because we live in a sin-filled, problem-filled, broken world, we've got to learn how to, as followers of Christ, specifically as followers of Christ, tackle those. Not using the world's wisdom or the world's logic, but using truth. Truth of your word and the truth of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so, God, we declare today we will no longer be conquered by, intimidated by, beat up by, chased by. No longer will our problems have control over our lives, or will we be victims to those. No longer will we be overwhelmed by those problems. That's our declaration, and we use your word. We use our trust and our faith in you to conquer those problems. So we thank you for the journey we're about to begin. We thank you in advance for overcoming all of this. In the name of Jesus Christ, power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you guys.